Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I 100% kind of agree with the Supreme Court. Official acts of the President of the United States, those that encompass the duties of his office, should be protected by immunity, but only if he's upholding his oath. Unofficial acts are open fucking season. Supreme Court said so, and I completely agree with that. Yeah, if you're protecting the country, not think you're protecting the country, not believe, hope, pray, or just lose your cool because you don't like the results, then working with all your brown shirts around the country in concert, using all of your powers to thwart a legal election. That was so premeditated. What do you think, we're stupid? Yeah, hardly an official act, Donnie, and that's what you're in trouble for, boy. That was an unofficial act, especially when you got out there on that fucking stage and incited that crowd to walk down to the Capitol with you, which is an unofficial act. Fight like hell and obstruct legal government proceedings. Also, an unofficial act. You're in a whirlwind of shit, Donnie. Now to you, Republican Party. I know you're proud of that pile of shit you have chosen to represent your party, proving that I was right for leaving you because you're a bunch of stupid fuck-ups! So pay attention, because this is really important you hear. This message is going out to President Joe Biden, President of the United States of America. I'm an American citizen, a proud one. Donald Trump has sworn he's going to be a dictator on day one. And be damned if I'm going to sit by and watch it happen. Nobody's going to watch it happen. Nobody of any common sense or real fortitude is going to sit there and fucking watch it happen. There are going to be no fucking dictators in the United States of America. That's why the American citizens are calling on our president to do an official act and protect the Constitution from that maniac. It would be an official act because you swore in your oath, sir, you would protect it. And he's a threat to this democracy. You know it. So whatever you decide to do, sir, just know this. You got a lot of Blue Star families and Freemasons that got your back. How's that set with you, MAGA pants?
Wants me to believe he's got the know-how to make all the shitty wrongs all right. Not right. That man's a mega pet. Just call him by his name. Oh, super-sized Coltex mega pet. For the perfect puss, just the same. Megapen getting banged on the Trump train. Ooh, yeah, a Kotex Megapen. And he's soaking up dawns. He's soaking up dawns. He's soaking up dawns. He's soaking up dawns. Minstrel pain.
Steve Bannon woke up in his bed this morning. Tonight he's sleeping in a cell. Get your fat ass to prison, Stevie. Time to pay the piper. And it's almost like Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, and Rudy Giuliani are all up there on that rocky rampart, looking down below at the guards, the witch's prison castle. Pete Navarro's in there. And Bannon's got to go in and get it.
What more do we need to shut this down? What is it going to take?
It's got to be on the Bannon Express.
Dude, Bannon's butthole is big butthole. Bannon's butthole is big butthole.
My God, they look like they have plans for you, Steve. Be careful.
But what does Jim Jordan and Mike Johnson need? This is, you should start.
Your butt buddies Jim and Mike ain't gonna fucking help you.
This was an attempted
butt rape, yeah.
Sir, how can we, if we tolerate this, we're tolerating the end of this republic,
sir. Stop stalling and just go, man.
You should start.
You're wasting time.
They had a trauma center 18 miles away and a map.
That's for your asshole when they're finished. You'll need it. Yeah. Oh, hey, don't forget the Vaseline.
Dude, that is big pothole.
Pass your fat ass off as a guard somehow, Steve. I don't know how you're going to do that, but good luck, Porky. You're going to need it. Accountability, it's tough for them spoiled fat fucks to accept it. Excuse me, just any spoiled brat. They're always telling you about how unfairly they're being treated. I'm so unfair. They don't give a flying fuck how you're treated, do they? That's right. Now, you think about that, and you go into that fucking voting booth. You know why Steve Bannon's going to jail today? He believed he was above the law. Donald Trump thinks he's above the law. The courts, everybody and every fucking thing, even America. And they're finding out just how wrong and stupid they are. We gave you the car keys and trusted you because you, well, claim to fucking know everything. I'm proud to say I didn't give you the car keys. I never fucking voted for you, Donald Trump. I met you back in 96. I knew you were full of shit then. I know you're full of shit now. I wouldn't dare give somebody like you the car keys, but I do have the advantage of having met you. That was enough for me. Because Joe Biden's numbers have gone up, all the right wing, like the Atlantic Journal and the New York Times, they've all got front page stories on all the right wing news outlets today saying that Joe Biden should serve his country by leaving the race. Yeah. They're putting out friendly pieces today about how old Joe, he should retire and blah, 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 and he should go ahead and serve his country. But they're trying to shame him because of his age because he's kicking Trump's ass. Listen very carefully. Koch brothers, the Fords, the Bush family, and all the other fucking subservient foot soldiers that work for him, including the propaganda ministry of the fucking Murdochs. You keep playing the same old bullshit shell game, hoping people are going to fall for it. Being cooped up in your small little box, your one-dimensional fucking world, you forget to look around. The world has ticked forward. The world, particularly the citizens, have wised up, shit for brains. Yeah. You and your small little box with all your money sitting there at the top, you ain't been looking down enough. You're out of touch. There's been one shit idea after another because you keep playing the same hand over and over, mindlessly.
Yep.
And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
You got more to lose than us.
You are not in charge.
Nope.
And your money doesn't mean shit to me. Unlike your convictions that require a stenciled number on a jumpsuit, my convictions allow me to stand on my own two fucking feet. That is your problem. You chicken shits cannot. You've got to cheat, lie, manipulate, steal, buy, because you can't carry a fucking thing, including your own damn word. If it wasn't for your money, you'd be helpless. I blame your daddy. Your father's, fucking baby boomer father's failed you. Fucking pussy hippie motherfuckers. They failed you! No, I'm not your daddy. I wish I was, some of you, because I would kick the shit out of you for carrying yourself like that, you dishonorable little fucking turds. That's pretty pathetic, folks. Because they keep putting shit for brains like you in charge, though you know what the fuck you're doing and you don't. That don't win anymore. You need to change up your game, Republican Party. How about coming back home and being honorable again to America? That means you serve your country and get that motherfucker off the ticket because he doesn't belong there and you know it. Show everybody you got a set. And you can stand up to that motherfucker now that he's damn near helpless and get his ass off that fucking ticket. You know better. Show us you got a set, pussies. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, back when he was a congressman, the last conversation we had on the fucking phone, he flat out told me, well, I'm not a never-Trumper, but I don't think he's good for the country. Okay. Then what the fuck are you doing, shit for brains? No excuses, boy. Publicly denounce that motherfucker and get him off the ticket, and you'll have shown me something, pussy. Should I hold my breath? Can you show Oklahoma and the United States of America, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, that you put country above Donald Trump? Can you show everybody that you put Oklahoma, your neighbors, and fellow citizens above Donald Trump? Or are you going to play the gutless card again, boy? Once again, the New York Times, the Atlantic Journal, all constitutional journal, they all fucking come out today with headlines saying that Joe Biden should step down.
He should serve his country by stepping down.
You're stupid, you're liars, and you're hoping the Democratic Party will drop him and put somebody in there you can beat. Like Kamala Harris? That's what it all boils down to. They're terrified Joe Biden's going to die in office, and Kamala Harris is going to be the first female president, black on top of that. Holy shit, you're going to see a lot of Republicans retire that year. yeah, the white boys, definitely. Don Trump, don't be looking for any fucking pardons, sir. Hope y'all had a great weekend. I had a really good weekend. I cured my barbecue pit, getting ready for the old 4th of July brisket and stuff, and just, you know, doing stuff with the family, you know, hanging out. Wife and I sitting around the house yesterday, shooting the bull. There's no secrets between Trish and I. None. And we don't bring this stuff up all the time, but we don't, like, really filter either when it's just me and her just sitting around just shooting the bull, you know, and it suddenly dawned on me yesterday during the course of our conversation that I had screwed an okra girl. Okra. Yeah. O-K-R-A. The vegetable.
Hey, fried or pickled?
I screwed an okra girl. Yeah.
In a can?
See, Tennessee, they used to have a Miss Okra pageant. And I screwed one of the former Miss Okras. I only bring it up because I hadn't thought about it, like, since it happened. But damn, you know, that's something I can really hang my hat on. There are very few people that have done Miss Okras.
I ain't done no okra. I done somebody named Melons, but, you know, the okra, no. That's special.
The pageant in Tennessee, of course, has been renamed Miss Tennessee. Yeah, because the okra girls slutted it up. It kind of had a bad rep there in Tennessee, but it was not uncommon for okra girls to be getting log slammed by the Oak Ridge boys. That's right. That's why they had to revamp the entire pageant to the Miss Tennessee pageant, you know? Guys, little fucking okras running around, don't know who their daddy is. Can't fucking read. Yeah, illiterate okra.
It just slipped through the cracks, you know.
It was a different kind of time. I fucked an okra girl. God. I was 21. That entire trip to Richmond was a shit trip anyway. It started pissing on me in Memphis. And, you know, I didn't have chaps on or a leather or anything, just my jean jacket, jeans, and a headband. By the time I rolled into Knoxville the next morning, I was pretty beat up. And what do you know, I ran into Miss Okra. Oh, I was chilled to the bone. There wasn't a spot in my body that was dry. Man, I rolled, and that shit, it hurt. Bullets all the way. It was rough, but that's why when I got there, I was so happy to see Miss Okra. It's almost as if she had been just waiting there for me. And this evidently took place long before I even met my wife, okay? Now, I'll say it lightly. I'm telling you, Miss Okra absolutely made that trip worthwhile. Because I can tell the story now. I'll bet you've never screwed a Miss Okra. Driving through a Tennessee rainstorm when I stopped at a little motel. Country Jane running the desk up front said, hey, won't you stay a spell? Kick off those boots and take some time. I tried to pay, but my card declined. She smiled, batting her eyes, while I quickly tried to explain. She said, don't worry about a penniless man, won't send you back out in the rain. There's a warm bed waiting down in room 14.
nightly raid is you and this ochre queen. Hell yeah, we hit the sack. Things got real organic. The room when we hit the bed. She made me say I was a little ochre with a tiara on my head. Overall, it was super quick and cheap. Then I ordered a movie and I fell asleep. Woke up the next morning. Queenie Ochre wasn't there. I looked down and all I saw was a note from my ripped up underwear. It said, I want to thank you for an ochre time. But you're not like an ochre, you're more like the vine. For the room back. Got Miracle Grow in your ass crack. Give your jaw an ochre smack. Come back, Queenie.
Why do I bring this story up? Hell if I know. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Yep, you found it. Stan the Joke Man Show.
I'm not even doing the opener. I'm just going to do Dear Stan. If you'd ever like to get a letter to me, and I haven't checked it in about 4 days because I'm an asshole. Tickturd, T-I-C-K-T-U-R-D, @yahoo.com. That's right. Sorry. I don't feel real good today, so I'm not even playing the opener to Dear Stan. I'm just getting to the letters if you don't mind. Yeah. Dear Stan, I lost the love of my life. I'm absolutely devastated. I was married to a wonderful woman for 27 happy years until she passed away last year. We did everything together. Now I feel lonely and depressed. We had a sweet furry guy named Max who is our whole world, and now Max has died too. I'm devastated. You got to move. You got to move. You got to change your entire surroundings, sir. You got to change your entire world. You're still living in that world. I'm sorry, man. You're still living in that world and you lost it. All of it. Sitting in that house with nothing but damn memories. You're going to drive yourself batshit crazy. Then you're going to do something stupid like getting a bad relationship with some bitch you have no business being in bed with. Or something worse. I'll say to you what I say to all my friends. You got to get the fuck out. I'm a very hard-working man. After losing my family, I feel lifeless. Because you are. So it's either curl up and die, or have the balls and the strength to keep going forward living. And if you're going to live, then that means you're going to live. Get out. New job, new town, new home, new life. Max and your wife will always be part of you. Part of you. Going forward. I'm glad you're going to grief therapy. Not enough. I'm reading here where you say you're trying to join dating sites and everything. Are you fucking serious? Too soon, sir. You are not ready. You're not emotionally stable at all. Yeah. Wait a minute. I like only curvy ladies. I don't think I'm ever going to find someone intelligent or reasonable. Oh, yeah? What about curvy? What do you suggest? Stop looking, man. That is the wrong thing to be doing ever, but particularly right now. Get a new pet. Get a new apartment, new house, new something. Get out. It's the best thing I can do for you. Yeah. How about a sex change? Thanks for the letter. Dear Stan, I have an acquaintance I became friendly with 20 years ago through a mutual friend. The acquaintance now lives in another state. She is a taker and a talker, and I have nothing in common with her. She has made anti-Semitic comments that, you know, leave me speechless and I'm unable to respond. I regret not being able to speak up all the time. This woman stayed with me at my house a few years ago, which was awkward and uncomfortable. I respond to her texts out of politeness. I do not contact her. She has just contacted me to say she's visiting my state in 2 months. I do not want to get together with her, but I responded by telling her we could, you know, check in closer to the date. I don't want her staying at my house. That's why I write this letter, Stan. I like how you find appropriate words to use in responding to difficult situations. What's your advice?
Be careful what you wish for.
I had somebody particularly close to me talk about how they were just going to come right down and stay for a little bit while they regrounded, and I made it very clear, you ain't fucking staying here. Uh-uh. I like watching your fucked up life from afar. You think I'm going to invite it into my home to reside here? Absolutely not. I didn't say it quite that eloquently. What I said was, you are not going to bring all your fucking shit down here and fuck up my shit. I was very open and direct and honest about that. Yeah. Whether I'm right or wrong is irrelevant. It's my house. I can make that call and not be ashamed to make that call. I worked hard for this place. I don't play that, well, I'm going to be out of town or busy at the doctor's appointment card. I'll fucking tell you. You ain't staying here. Keep your shit there. You want to come visit? Fine. There's a hotel down the street, bitches. Not here. And that's what you need to tell your lady. Yeah. Ask her where she's going to stay. Prompt her. Where are you going to stay? Well, I don't know. Well, you know, there's a hotel down the street. Recommend a couple of good places. Don't even offer. But if she suggests it, refuse right out the gate. Just say, no, you can't stay here. And don't even give her a reason. Okay, make the reason a lie, chicken shit. Make the reason a lie. But she can't stay there. You tell her no. You are not obligated, no matter how much somebody thinks that you're their friend. I mean, are you guys really friends? You are not obligated to play boarding house to somebody just because you fucking know them. Even if you're friendly with them, you are not obligated to play boarding house. My wife doesn't like company anyway, so be damned if anybody's going to stay the night here unless they're extremely close, intimate family members. You live in Colorado. There's so many cool places she could stay other than your house. Other than that, stop dumping your shit on me. Dear Stan, should I tell my alcoholic daughter that I took her out of my will? Well, hell no. She might kill you. Stan, I'm single, retired grandfather in the South. My granddaughter, 50, well, she's hitched her wagon to an alcoholic, and now she herself is drinking. Crazy. My grandsons are adults and scattered around the country. They're lazy, and none of them have a full-time job, no ambition. We used to keep them during the summers until they're mid-teens now. I don't hear from them anymore. My daughter has no retirement savings or company retirement plans. She doesn't call either. She lives 4 hours away. I'm sure all of my home, property, and possessions are their planned retirement accounts. All I have to do is die.
Yeah, let somebody else carry the water.
I worked my entire life spending a couple of full careers, and I owe nothing to anyone. I have visions of my possessions being destroyed by a couple of alcoholics with ungrateful grandkids. They'll sell everything off for quick cash and then blow that. I've decided my estate will all be donated to my favorite charity, a worthwhile cause where it will truly mean something to people who care. Should I let my daughter and grandkids now know that, well, they have an opportunity to change course, prepare, or let them be surprised? What do you think? Disappointed in Florida. First, I want to say I'm really sorry they're hurting you like that, man. I'm sorry they've forgotten you. They've forgotten growing up with you, and I trust you were a good, loving parent, role model, and you're always there for them, and now they're not there for you. That is the typical gins. Yeah. Inconsiderate, short-sighted, self-serving. They knew they were going to be young forever, and the party was just going to last forever. Then they find out the hard way. It doesn't. You better listen to your teachers. You better listen to your parents because they've been through the shit you're going through now. They know exactly what they're talking about, numbnuts. Yeah, you're an absolute fucking moron. Hardly off the tit. So you have to stop and consider the fact that your parents and everybody that foots the bill and takes care of you now, they're going away. All going away, and then it's just going to be you and whoever's around you. How the fuck are you going to fend for yourself? You better wise up. Can you fend for yourself? Can you pay the bills? Can you carry your own dead fucking weight? Because if you can't, that should scare the hell out of you and make you real serious about life. As far as this letter from this grandfather, he's got this big property and estate and all these fucking ingrate kids and grandkids around him waiting for him to die. You're a retired grandfather, sir. Don't you be guilted at all by living your life and seeing it out the way you see fit. My personal opinion, the best thing you could do for the youngsters would be leave them high and fucking dry so they'll be forced to go out there and make their own. I wouldn't even trust him with funeral arrangements. I'd name an executor now in that will. And I know nothing legal. I'm not a lawyer. It just seems like the right fucking thing to say. Plan all of it ahead of time. Your obituary, your headstone, fucking everything.
Strippers.
And yeah, the will is pretty much ironclad.
Pony keg with a potluck dinner.
I'm sure you will. I don't know anything about it because I haven't died yet. Good luck, man. Dear Stan, I recently met a guy who asked me to sit down and have coffee with him. I was disappointed to hear him say during the course of the conversation he was neither dating nor marriage-minded, so why invite me to sit down for coffee? Are you fucking serious? How old are you, man? How is it you didn't pick up on the fact all he wanted was sex out of that? Is there something wrong with that? You sat down for coffee.
Slut!
I decided to avoid him, and, well, I'm trying to rid my thoughts of him, but it's difficult because I feel drawn to him.
What?
Yeah. The last time I saw him, I sat down with him and he asked to hold my hand. I understand that in dating, you know, we may find out that we're not, you know, going to get married, but we haven't even dated yet. I suppose I appreciate that he's admitting he already knows he doesn't like me enough to marry me, but why ask to hold my hand then? Why ask me to sit down for coffee? Because he doesn't fucking know. Yeah, it's called build rapport, nutty ass. What do you think? You just go from 0 to 100? That would be from hi, how are you, to fucking immediately?
Yeah, those are my best relationships.
Well, you know where it's going, sex. You gotta have some kind of buffer between first seeing each other and the bedroom. Yeah, coffee is nice and short, usually within 30 minutes, and you're in bed. Yay! Just how fucking fast do you have to hit the sheets, ma'am? You ever figure that's what's wrong with your relationships? Yeah. You're driving a car without brakes, lady. It's hard to meet men where I live, because you run through them like shit through a goose. And it's been a long time since I was in a serious relationship. Yeah, I know, because you got all these coffee fucks going on. I'm tired of meeting guys that seem like great catches and they tell me that they're not really interested in a relationship. Why is everybody playing so hard to get? People aren't playing hard to get. They're playing smart to get. That's right, smart to get. They're not fooling themselves and they're sure as hell not going to bullshit you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not every relationship is love. And not every fuck is a relationship. Let's get that right, okay? They're telling you right up front, hey, I'm attracted to you. I want to hang out with you. No, tell them where the hell this is going. I'm not looking for a relationship, but you want to hang out and, I don't know, go to bed? Good God, it happens every 5 seconds, I'm sure, on this planet. I've always been very candid about such things. Oh, my goodness. You ever meet my wife, you should ask her. The first thing I said to her, absolutely. 2.5 months later, we were married. We've been married nearly 30 years. Those are special words, folks, but I ain't going to reveal them here. If she ever gets her own show, I'm sure she'll talk about it. But stop thinking you have to have a relationship with every swing and dick that comes along. There's nothing wrong with having a casual relationship with somebody, even holding hands to show affection to one another. Lighten the fuck up. You're reading way too much in all of this shit. He's flat out telling you, I don't want a fucking relationship. I want to be single, independent. You're attractive. I'm attractive. Let's see where it goes. You want to hit the sheets? Yay. Let's have coffee first, though, so we don't come off as complete whores. Yeah, seems to be a fairly direct message to me, so let's leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll wrap it up at the Stand the Joe Man Show. It's a product of Joe Man Productions, LLC, broadcasting in the Boys Room Studio here in Henrietta, America. Everybody, Wednesday and Friday at high noon on iTunes. Yeah, I got to get out there and mess around with the old barbecue pit. Got my fireworks. I'll be talking about them Wednesday when I will be back at high noon right before the 4th of July. I have a lot to say, and probably even before then. Y'all burn your shit solid. See you then. Bye, con Dios, mi amigos.
Now, this old life ain't something that you live on by yourself. There always comes a time you need a friend.
Sometimes the world can get so heavy and the road can get so long that you need someone to lend a helping hand.
I've learned life the hard way, took all my knocks and lumps, but when I look back down the road at where I've been, I see that all the things I've done in this whole life have been more fun, 'cause I shared them with someone who was a friend. Care about one another, be a friend and be a brother,
'cause you're always gonna need someone that you can lean on.
You've got to help each other out, that's what this life is all about, 'cause there ain't no way that you can make this journey alone.
Well, I guess that I'm just looking, 'cause I've been there and back.
Yes, I've seen life out every which way you can. I'm concerned, the greatest thing that a man can learn is when you're down, it's great to turn to a friend.
I've been there and back.
Yes, yes, I've seen life about every which way you can. But as far as I'm concerned, the greatest thing that a man can learn is when you're down, it's great to turn.